Rebounding from unsettling spiritual defeat, Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 to 29. At times we can face spiritual defeat around us or even in ourselves, and we need insight on rebounding well. We face spiritual defeat in the world around us. Stephen Moore wrote an op-ed, "President Obama, Are You Listening?" in the Wall Street Journal on May 2nd and 3rd on the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program. It was signed into law by President George W. Bush. It funds private school tuition for nearly 5,000 students, 95% of whom are African American. And parents and students involved laud the extraordinary benefits of this program. Apparently, it's very successful. It's working very well. But for the seventh straight year, President Obama has proposed eliminating this relatively tiny scholarship fund from the federal budget because the teachers' union sees the program as taken away from union jobs. So spiritual defeat, both in society and in general and in business, in particular, plagues some of our biggest cities. We can also face unsettling spiritual defeat at the local church level. The July-September 2013 issue of Answers Magazine that we get as a church ran Ken Ham's disconcerting article, "Beware the Roaring Lion," and it warned of a vocal group in the homeschool movement that wants textbooks to promote evolution and millions of years that contradicts God's word. Homeschoolers are usually very conservative, desiring to avoid errant ideology that is taught in the public schools. But enough parents, and even this group, have been swayed by their exposure to theistic evolution, apparently in Christian circles, that they want evolutionary thought put into their children's textbooks. I never dreamed that I would read an article about that, but that's happening. We can face spiritual defeat in ourselves as well. When I first entered the pastorate, I recommended professional counseling for needy people. However, I then read works like Martin and Deidre Bongan's book, "Psychoheresy," with a foreword by David Hunt, where on pages 30 to 31, they cited psychiatrist Lee Coleman, who wrote the book "The Reign of Terror," 1984, and he reported, "I have testified in over 130 criminal and civil trials around the country, countering the authority of psychiatrists or psychologists hired by one side or the other. In each case, I try to educate the judge or jury about why the opinions produced by these professionals have no scientific merit." Then I studied Psalm 1, Isaiah 9, 6, Revelation 19, 11, and 16, and found them together teaching that the believer's reliance on Scripture brings them under the all-sufficient care of their wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. So after decades of studying Scripture and reading critiques on counseling and being disillusioned with my own exposure to professional counseling, including the Christian kind, I now endorse Scripture, not professional counseling, but it has been a very difficult pilgrimage. So we need God's help if we reel from spiritual defeat even within. So the question we're answering this morning is, how can I rebound from unsettling spiritual defeat all around or even from within me? We're in Joshua chapter 8 this morning, which deals with victory at Ai. But in order to understand the victory at Ai, I have to go back and review a little bit of the defeat of Ai that occurred in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 8 opens with Joshua and Israel in a state of shock, grief, and waning faith after spiritual defeat. The man Achan and Israel had stolen goods that belonged to God and hidden them with his family's consent among his own things. So God withdrawn his help so that Israel had been defeated at Ai. Stunned by this failure in battle, everyone in Israel had lost their courage to wage holy war, and Joshua and the elders had seen their own faith in God severely weakened as they echoed the unbelief of the generation that had died in the wilderness and wishing that they had never entered Canaan. So God consequently had directed Joshua to discern by divine lot the guilty party and to execute Achan and his co-conspirators, the members of his own family. And this would have been a shocking event for the entire nation. So Israel and Joshua were left spiritually numb after their defeat at Ai, and they were weakened in faith and in morale. Let me just stop there. If you're facing this morning in your life, you can probably identify with us. I think every Christian at one time or another in his life has experienced spiritual defeat. It's an unsavory experience, but it's a very real one. How do you get out of the hole? How do you dig yourself out of the situation? How do we look to the Lord and find his help. Well, we come to Joshua chapter 8. First, the Lord repeated his initial encouraging remarks given at Joshua's leadership installation, not to fear or be dismayed, for now that Israel had dealt with the sin in her midst, she could defeat Ai. Notice verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. That reminds me so much of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where God had first called Joshua, and Joshua was taking the huge role upon his shoulders of leading Israel, a nation of 2 million people, to enter into the land of Canaan. And God says, have I not commanded thee, in Joshua 1, 9, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord says, I'm with you. You may not feel like you're a conqueror. You may not feel like you can win any more battles, but I'm with you. And one with a God, of course, is a majority. Second, the Lord had Israel counter her former self-reliance by learning anew to trust in him. You'll notice the last part of verse 1. God said, take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. Take all the people. That's opposite of what they'd done earlier. You'll remember back in Joshua chapter 7, verse 4, the people had, beginning at verse 3, the spies had returned to Joshua and said to him, don't let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 of men go up and smite Ai. Don't make all the people labor to go there. It's a lot of work. They're just a few. So they went up there about the people of Israel, about 3,000 men, but they fled before the men of Ai. So God says, all right, you were overconfident. You were dependent on your own strength. So I want all of your soldiers to go up there. Now, what's amazing is all of their soldiers would have been about 660,000 men, a lot more than what we even had in the Iraqi war. Now, that's a lot of men to go up there against a group of about 12,000 people. We're finding out that it was a fortress, but a fortress of only 12,000 people. So you have 660,000 men going up. But God says, look, I don't want you to become overconfident. You're going to have to learn to trust me, all of you, not just a couple of thousand men. I want all the army, everybody. Everybody's going to have to learn this life of faith. So God had Joshua take all of Israel's warriors, opposite just 3,000, as they all needed to grow in their faith in God, with the total force everyone needed to face Ai again for victory. Third, God promised that the victory Israel had experienced at Jericho, she would also have over Ai, but that Israel could this time keep the spoils of the city of Ai versus putting them into God's treasury. Verse 2, and thou shalt do unto Ai and her king as you did unto Jericho and her king. In other words, they have to destroy it, they have to destroy all the people, they have to burn it to the ground. Only, and this shows the terrible error that Achan made in stealing from the Lord and Joshua, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof you can take for a prey to yourselves. It's too bad that Achan just didn't wait. If he had just waited a little bit for the next battle, the Lord could have given it to him, but he didn't. He took it ahead of time and he lost his life. That shows us that we're better off waiting for the Lord to meet our needs rather than trying to concoct our own plan on our own. But anyway, this time you can take the cattle and the spoil for yourselves. And then the Lord had a fourth direction. God had Israel use the battle plan that left her facing her fear so as to overcome it by faith. Notice verse 2b. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. We're going to ambush them. How does this work? Well, the Lord ordered Joshua to set an ambush behind the city of Ai. This order led Joshua to send 30,000 commandos by night to hide west of Ai, while Joshua with the main army approached Ai in full view from a hill to the north with a valley between them and Ai. The objective was to lure the men of Ai away from their city so that they and their city could be destroyed. To achieve this goal, Israel's main army would pretend to flee down the valley to the east as they had previously done to lure Ai's men out of their city to pursue Israel's army so that the 30,000 commandos might invade Ai and set it on fire, demoralizing and trapping Ai's men out in the open in the valley. However, this plan involved the painful exercise of Israel's men having to repeat their initial flight from Ai, only then to turn around and face their pursuers in combat and faith that God would now give them the victory. One of the things you learn when you get into a life of faith with the Lord is if you have failed in some way, and because of that failure, you're afraid of the failure, the Lord never lets you run away from your fear. He always makes you turn around and face it. If you're afraid of a lion, he makes you stare it right in the face. You know, if you're afraid of something or an individual, he makes you go right back at it, go back to that position and turn around. So God directed them. And notice, so let me read those verses 3-8. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men, mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us until we have drawn them all out from the city. For they will say they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall arise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you. This is a map of the area. And Bethel is up in this area. It's at the top of a hill area. Ai is over here. There's sort of a long meandering valley that creeps up towards Bethel here. And then over here, there's a very deep gorge that comes up close to Bethel, but not quite up there. And it has branches going off in this direction. And what the plan of of Joshua and from the Lord actually gave him the plan, is that Israel's main army was supposed to be up here across the valley from Ai. And they were to approach in full view of everybody. So Bethel and Ai would be pointing in this direction. Then Israel was supposed to come down in the valley, pretend like they're going to come to Ai, and then suddenly start fleeing this way, down the valley, down towards Jericho. That should draw the men of Ai out. Hopefully it would draw out the men of Bethel. Well, there were going to be commandos that were hiding over here, apparently just over the rim of this gully. There'd be 30,000 commandos here. And Joshua also, later on we found out, put a rear guard of 5,000 men. Now the reason for the guard is because the commandos are facing Ai. They probably have a lookout here on the top who's hiding, and he's going to signal them to come. But the people from Bethel presumably could see these commandos here if they weren't careful. So there's a rear guard here, 5,000 men, right here just under the lip here, so that if anybody comes from Bethel here, boom, they can come out there and interact. And Bethel is not a fortress city. It's just a little hamlet, where Ai is a fortress city. That's why they wanted to take Ai. So here is the plan. This is the way they hoped, or they had planned, that it was going to work. The red is Israel, and the blue are the enemy. And please, there's no application with Republicans and Democrats here. Don't talk about this. I just happened to choose. The red is on our side. Okay. Israel's army is here, and the commandos are down here, and the rear guard is hiding just over the crest here. The goal is for Israel's army to come down here into the valley. In fact, they came down during the night ahead of time. And then in the morning when the king of Ai saw them, he came out after them. But anyway, Israel was supposed to go this way, and that was to draw Ai out. Then at the right signal, Joshua was going to turn down and point his javelin up. That was a sign for the commandos to come out and burn Ai, and then follow down here. And the commandos, 30,000 top-notch soldiers, would be on this end of the valley, the upper end. Israel's main army, the other maybe 590,000, I forget, soldiers would be down here. And they would trap the men from Ai here in the valley, and then they would destroy them. Later they would go back and destroy the city of Ai. That's the plan. So let's see how it worked. In the course of the battle, God led Joshua in perfect timing to produce a tremendous victory. Joshua had stationed a force of 5,000 men, like I said, near Bethel, likely a rear guard for the 30,000 commandos, lest the men of Bethel attack the commandos from the rear.
We used to wonder why he was selecting an extra 5,000 men there. We didn't understand the topography, and just in the last 10 years, they've actually discovered the correct place for Ai. And the topography of the land with this gully and everything else makes it very clear as to why Joshua did that. But this guard proved to be unneeded, for the initial plan worked so very well. Let me read that. Beginning at verse 9, Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and sent them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. That'd be the west side of Ai. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north side of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hurried and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against his Israel to battle, he and all his people at the appointed time, before the plan, but he did not know that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went out not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And as the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out his spear that they had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they took it and hurried and set the city on fire. The plan worked to absolute perfection. In fact, it worked better than what they had planned. All the men from Bethel actually came out. All the men from Ai came out. And at the right point, Joshua lifted his spear up. The commandos came out, and the rear guard must have joined the commandos. And together, these 35,000 men entered into Ai. They lit it on fire, and then they came down. Joshua and the other 500,000 men came from behind. And before you knew it, the men of Ai and Bethel were cornered, and they were destroyed. And after they were destroyed, then Israel went back here into Ai, and they burned the city to rubble. They took captives, they captured the spoil, and they burned it and destroyed all the rest of the life forms there, besides the animals and so forth, and destroyed it. At the time, we believe that they also destroyed Bethel up here. It was just more of a hamlet, but it was necessary for them to take that area. This opened up the central part of the entire land of Canaan, so that Joshua could split it. He had a southern campaign from there, and then he had a northern campaign from there. But they had to take this particular city, and they had to take it by force in order for God to bless them. So this guard was unneeded. The initial plan worked perfectly. The men of Ai and Bethel chased Israel's main army down into the valley, leaving Israel's 35,000 men up on the bridge to enter Ai. At the right instant, God had Joshua turn and hold up his javelin toward Ai, the signal for the 35 men to enter Ai and quickly set it on fire, while also leading Israel's army to turn and face their foes. So the 35,000 entered the city, set it ablaze, to the dismay of the Canaanites who were chasing Israel's army. Israel's army turned to face the Canaanites caught in the valley, and caught between the 35,000 men of Israel and the 500,000 other soldiers of Israel, and they destroyed the Canaanites in accordance with the will of God. Joshua 8, verse 22 says, and the other issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. So Israel then destroyed all the remaining Canaanites in Ai, possibly Bethel, and spoiled the cities before burning Ai, executing its king and hanging him on a tree until evening, and then burying him under a great pile of rocks at Ai's city gate. They've actually found Ai's city gate. And it's interesting that they have, there is a pile of rocks there even to this day. It's not a big pile today, but there's still a lot of rocks right in that particular area. And interestingly, the gate faces north, just the way the Bible presents it.
the details of the fulfillment of Scripture here is amazing. So in facing shock, grief, and decline in their faith due to the defeat at Ai, Israel was led by the Lord to rebound in his grace by God's encouraging Joshua with his past promise to help him if he obeyed God, by God's promising Joshua victory over Ai now that the sin in Israel's midst had been punished, by God's leading Israel to relearn to trust him, specifically in facing her past fear and overcoming it by faith, and in God's timing to the spiritual rebound of the nation. It's interesting that the Lord said unto Joshua, "Now stretch out the spear that is in your hand." See, the timing came from the Lord. The Lord knew the perfect timing of this. So if we face shock and grief or weaken faith in the Lord due to spiritual defeat around us or in us, we need to trust in Christ first of all to be saved. And then if we face spiritual defeat as believers, may we confess our sin if personal sin has led us to God's withdrawal of his blessing, and rely on scripture truth or promises of God's rebounding help, especially if we need help in facing inhibiting fears, and be careful to follow God's circumstantial timing in life's events, and he will give us the victory. In the concluding illustration that I have in the message this morning, it actually deals with the city of Ai, and let me explain that. Not only did ancient Israel face initial defeat at Ai, only to be overcome, or to overcome it by a repeat battle, a similar challenge involving the same city has affected conservative Christians in our era. For many years, and I remember when I was in Bible college, this was a problem at the time, archaeologists had excavated a site called Etel, which they claimed was the Ai of Joshua, only to find the evidence from the site does not line up well with the Bible. So they concluded the biblical count was in error. And this alleged problem with Scripture regarding Ai has thus been used by advocates of liberal theology to undermine the faith of some in the inspiration of Scripture. When I was at Bible college, this is still a problem. And I remember our prof saying they probably haven't found the right place, because the Bible can't have erred. Well, relentlessly holding to the Bible to be God's true word, Dr. Bryant Wood, who's still living today, in the last 10 years has led an Associates of Biblical Research team to face the problem of Ai again, much as ancient Israel had to face Ai again, and he identified an alternate site 9 miles north of Jerusalem called Kerbet el-Makatir. The geography fit the biblical account very well, so ABR began archaeological excavations there in 1995, and after excavating for over 10 years, or 10 seasons, they have revealed persuasive reasons to believe they've uncovered the lost city of Ai. Kerbet el-Makatir fits every single requirement demanded by the biblical text. In fact, the age of the pottery is like 1409 or 1410 BC, which would put it right in the era of Joshua. It's just amazing. So these discoveries affirm what the serious Christian already knows. The Bible can be trusted in every detail it records because it is the word of the living God. So we've had our own battle and have overcome a defeat of sorts at Ai even in our era to this time. So if we've experienced spiritual defeat in some realm of life, may we overcome it by facing that realm and our fears in it with scripture truth, that we believe God's truth, and that we rebound for his glory. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ in the Christian life. And even if we've gone through an area of defeat in our lives, that you're not satisfied with Christians who have just suffered defeat. You want your Christians to be overcomers. I think it's remarkable in the message that our Savior gave in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 to each of the seven churches. Jesus said, "He that overcomes." That's so encouraging, because a lot of times throughout church history there has been initial defeat, but you're looking for someone who overcomes. And if we've been or experienced defeat in certain areas of our lives, even as Christians, we know that there's always hope, because you want us to overcome. And we ask, Father, that we would overcome by facing what is feared us in the Lord's power, in the Lord's might, and facing it down in God's timing and God's way, so that we might have the victory and succeed for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.